Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Chris Brown, your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And it is an honor to be with you today. I'm not sure if you're listening on the dial or on our website at stewardship.com or on the podcast, but thank you so much for joining in. We are very passionate about adding value to your life. And today, we're talking about managing this life God's way and for God's glory. What does that look like in the day-to-day? What does it look like when it comes to our marriages? Our roommates, those of you that are in college and you got roommates, and how in the world do you manage that relationship for God? How do we leverage our, how do we manage our parenting, our money, our leadership, all those things? How do we manage them? How do we show faithful? How do we get to the end of our days and God looks at us and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What does that look like? And so that's what we're all passionate about. That's why we're tuning in. That's what we care about. What does the Bible say about all this stuff that we, the good things that we do in life, the bad things we do in life, and those not so brilliant things that all of us have done. And so this is your show. So feel free to call in 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. Of course, you can call in at any time and leave a voicemail, but I want to encourage you to call in right now, wherever you are. And listen, it's the end of December, which means that we are right before the new year. And if you're looking for a plan for your money in this next year, look no further than what we talk about a lot on this show, Financial Peace University. If you've been putting that off for a really long time, the time is now. Stay tuned for more information on that, on how you can maybe even help others in your church and neighborhoods get their money in order too in the process. So more information about that in just a few moments. But again, the number is 866-357-3283. And we already have Josh on the line, and he is calling in from Ohio. Josh, how are you?
Good. Hey, thanks, Chris, for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my honor. How can I help you?
Well, I just got a pretty basic question. I'm 25. I am in ministry. I probably have a little more unique situation than other folks. As I'm in ministry, I'm probably not going to make more than 50 or 60,000 ever. I make about 40, but I'm still paying off student loans, and my wife and I are renting. And my question really was, we have one child, but my question was, should we really try to go the Dave Ramsey and the things you guys teach and pay off the loans, or spend the next few years saving for a down payment and getting a mortgage and getting a house? And it'd be a house that we probably wouldn't want to move ever again until the kids are raised and out. So I'm not really looking to move again or to really move for another job. I'm pretty satisfied where I'm at. Just trying to get some clarity on what the next steps, the next few years should be in terms of getting a house or paying off a student loan.
Yeah, Josh, what am I stepping into here? Is one of you one direction and one of you the other direction?
No, we're both not really sure. Like, we've been listening to Dave's program.
Mm-hmm.
We know where we want to live. We know we want a house probably the next 3 or 4 years. We don't want to rent forever. At the same time, we'd love to get rid of the debt as well.
Yeah.
So we're both just really kind of asking the same question.
So are you familiar with Financial Peace University?
A little bit. Really just going through the website. I haven't taken the class or anything. I know they teach a lot about, all debt first and not taking more debt on.
Yeah.
I guess my question was more the area we live in, actually, typically a mortgage is about half as much as what rent would cost. So the whole building equity thing is something that I lean a little bit more towards that, but I'm not sure long term if I would, regret waiting an extra 5 years to pay off student loans, or if I would have rather put you know, jumped into a mortgage really quick. So
yeah. Well, here's the deal. What I want to do, Josh, is I want to give you Financial Peace University. I'm just going to give it to you, and Amanda's going to hook you up with that as soon as we hang up. And I actually suggest that you go to a class. Typically, I hand out a home study, but she and the team are going to help you get enrolled in a class nearby, because you guys are married, and do you have any children?
Yeah, we have one newborn in January.
Okay, and you guys,
year old. Yeah.
Okay, and you know, you being a pastor, and obviously you've got some access to some facilities to even have this class, or even have a class at your church. I just strongly encourage you to go through this, because it will walk you through these kind of scenarios. Financial Peace University has helped over 2.5 million people. Actually, over 4 million people, 2.5 million couples go through this exact scenario. What it will do is here's the quick version, is you want to make sure that you save $1,000. That's baby step one. Baby step two is to pay off all consumer debt, which means your student loans, to get rid of those, and any credit card debt, any non-mortgage debt. That's step two. Step three is to save up a 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then baby step four is to get into investing. Baby step five is to make sure you take care of the school loans and those kind of things. Baby step six is to pay off the house. So, you know, it gives you those steps. And of course, we talk a lot about, you know, developing those steps and make sure you know the why behind them. But it's really important that you go through that class. In this scenario, if you're wondering the balance between these two, you're going to get further faster. We've known every situation, because a couple times you try to tell me your situation's a little bit different. We've helped people all over the globe, so we've seen every kind of scenario and kind of come up with these baby steps that make sense universally. And strongly encourage you to pay off the student loans first. I don't want you to start thinking about running until you get the ankle weights off your off your ankles. Mm-hmm. So that's really what I'd like you to do. And you're going to feel short term like, oh, I could be building some equity. Really, right now, though, I mean, you're going to be buying at the high in most markets. So there's not going to be a whole lot of equity involved anyway. It's the high. I mean, the markets are really high right now. It's a big time seller's market in most markets. So you're not going to get a good deal right now anyway. I don't like it. I will say this. I would correct a little bit of your thinking. I would step away from the lie that you're only going to make 50 or 60 for the rest of your life. I don't necessarily think that's true. I really believe that creating wealth is an act of worship, if it's with the right heart. And pastors need to think through different revenue streams. There's nothing wrong with a pastor making more money. I wouldn't want you to feel that kind of ceiling that's not there. You're putting that ceiling on you. So think through different revenue streams. It doesn't even have to be ministry related, but you could be doing some, a lot of things. You can get, some residual money, on the side. So I want to help you with that. And then also, I would just be careful of saying, you know, we're planning on moving into this house and living there forever. That just, there's no data to back up that many people are doing that. So I would open yourself up to thinking that, you know, our plans, you know, God kind of laughs at them. I know that's what you want to do, but just know in the back of your mind that the reality is that you probably won't move one time or buy a house next month and live in that house for the rest of your life. Very, very, very few people do that. So just, you know, as a 25-year-old, I'm 38. So I just, you know, kind of went through that last season, you know, that you're going through now. And I've said a lot of those things, and I just wanted to correct that. But the biggest thing I want to do is get you through Financial Peace University, because they'll give you handles on the why behind you want to pay off this consumer debt before you put money towards a down payment. Okay?
Sure. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Hang on the line. Amanda will hook you up. Our next call comes in from Louisville, Kentucky. This is Linda. Linda, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Oh, great. I have a question for you about my debt and buying a car.
Okay.
I'm currently paying a minimum on my credit cards of about $500 a month.
Okay.
And I can squeeze an extra $160 out of my budget to finance, pay for a monthly payment on a car. And I know you don't advocate that, but I want to get a car so I can get a second job so I can pay off my debt. And I just feel like at the rate I'm going, without the car and the second job, I'm just going to be in debt forever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I take the bus, but it's getting kind of, I guess, sketchy. So I really need your wisdom and advice about this.
Yeah.
As I go back and forth on it.
Yeah, there's a land in between. What I would do is I would save this $160 a month for 2 or 3 months, and you've got enough money for a clunker that can get you around. And you don't need to finance a car. But that's what I would do if the second job is going to pay off. If you're going to spend $400 or $500 in this car, or maybe even as little as $300, that gets you from point A to point B, and it's going to yield more than $300 or $500 pretty quickly, then that's what I would do. What's your current income?
It's about $33,000.
Okay, and what would the second job allow you to go up to?
It's kind of starting at around 10 okay. an hour.
Okay.
But I would be working late at night, so, and I'm driving by myself, so I would need a pretty reliable car.
Mm-hmm. And is there any job options that you can do that wouldn't need driving? Like maybe something you could do from the home or through technology?
I've looked into that, and I've been looking for months, and I'm just not finding anything mm-hmm. that I can do because I work in the day, and I'm looking for a night job.
Right. How much debt are we talking about?
It's about $18,000.
Okay. And what's the goal to pay it off by when?
I wanted, like, if I had a second job, I was thinking just a couple of years, but I'm just paying the minimum. With the minimum, I know it's just going on forever.
Right, right. Yeah, the average is about six. Six if you're just doing the minimum. Let's see here. Yeah, I think you just 2 or 3 months, save up a clunker, and I think you'd be shocked at what you could buy for $500, and it could last you 2 years. Now, it might not be pretty. It might be not. Mm-hmm. It might not be pretty at all. But what you're paying for that $500 is not for a great interior, not for a great paint job. Yeah. What you're paying for is the $500 that you are paying for is the $500 value of the engine, or the $500 value of the somewhat reliability. And then, of course, you know, what I would do is I'd add AAA or add some kind of roadside service to your insurance for $12 bucks a year. So you've got roadside there within minutes. And of course, you know, I would just do that before I would finance anything. That's how we're in this mess, is financing and going into debt. So, but that's what I would do. And that's actually what I feel like that's what I would do. Even if I was a female, working at night traveling by myself, I think I would still say that same answer. Are you familiar with the Total Money Makeover?
I've heard about it. I think I might have even flipped through the book at the bookstore.
Okay. How would you like to have it?
Oh, great.
Okay.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think flipping through it through the bookstore is not helping you, so I want to give it to you.
Oh, okay. That
yeah.
would be great.
Yes, because it'll explain this whole thing in more detail outside of a 2 or 3 minute call. So Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything except to love one another." I want to make sure that you get in a position where that's all you're owing, is loving one another.
Okay.
And I don't want you taking out any more debt. Okay, so stay on the line. Amanda's going to hook you up with the Total Money Makeover. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, folks, that's pretty cool stuff. Love handing out those resources, and love, of course, Dave and our team putting so much energy and time into those books. And, of course, they're available at stewardship.com, and wanted to make sure I hooked her up with that. I know that'll be very helpful. That's why I'm so passionate about Financial Peace University. I don't know, have you ever gotten to the end of the month and wondered where all your money went? There are families in your own church and neighborhood that feel the same way. They might feel like this article. They can feel like they are a slave to the debt and don't know how to get ahead. The good news is this. There is a better way. These families just need a plan. They need to know that God's way of handling money. And you, that's right, you listening, you can bring that to them. If you're a small group leader, a pastor, church volunteer, or someone with a heart to help others, I'm speaking to you. Financial Peace University has helped 3 million families learn how to handle money God's way. In just 90 days, the average family saves $5,300 and pays off $2,700 in debt. $2,700 in debt. That's an $8,000 swing. You don't have to be a financial expert. In fact, more than 40% of the people who coordinate a class experience the life-changing lessons for the first time. They're figuring out for the first time as well. Pretty cool. So if you're looking for a fun and practical way to help others in 2016, you need to check out Financial Peace University. We're here to help you get started. Give us a call today at 866-357-3283 or visit stewardship.com. Folks, we've got the radio covered. Okay, we're trying to help on that end, but we need folks on the ground, kneecap to kneecap, eyeball to eyeball, helping folks form budgets and work through these scenarios. And we work together. We're a big team. So I am begging you to get involved in this. God will look down and smile upon us for the work that we're doing together. So we're reclaiming stewardship together. So many of you are leading classes, and a great job doing that.
If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Of course, you guys, you know, you not only call in, but you can also email in. Nancy emailed in, said, "Dear Chris, we've given each of our 12 grandkids $50 for their birthday. Traditionally, that's what they do. But we are rethinking everything since taking Financial Peace University. They buy either toys or clothes. Then they forget about them or outgrow by the next birthday. Any suggestions for something more lasting or meaningful? Incidentally, they all have far more means than we do, with four sets of grandparents on each side. So there is no lack of gifts. Here's what I would do. Maybe the land in between. Maybe $25 to $50 that you give them for completion of the class and proof of comprehension of the class. So then you've got the cash component where you don't look like the grumpy grandparents. But you're also getting a little bit of the knowledge. And so that's what I would kind of do. And if you have any, you know, the grandkids that are local, of course, they get an additional meal with you where you maybe ask them some thought-provoking questions. But I would stay away from anything, you know, going towards, you know, any kind of CDs or certificates of depreciation, I call them. And if you're talking about some more substantial money in the future, you want to look into an ESA or a 529 for college. Of course, you want to check our endorsed local providers for that if you're going to get into any of that kind of college funding for the future. And so, yeah, that's what I would do, somewhere in between. And if you're going to do something more substantial, go to the college funding. You know, speaking of college funding, saw an article in CNN Money. And this article is titled, "Our son's $189,000 student debt is delaying our retirement." That's a pretty catchy title. Definitely got my attention. So this article goes on to say, unfortunately, those retirement plans are now on hold indefinitely. This couple currently is paying $744 a month on their 24-year-old son's student loans, and goes on to say that child actually is having a tough time making ends meet, even after all those college loans, working as a waiter and a bartender. So not even using the degree. Nothing wrong with the waiter at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. But here's the deal. You don't need a college education for that. So not even using it. They go on to say that he has next to no income, and this comes from the father, Bill, the 57-year-old, who co-signed on these loans. Their other son lives at home and is pursuing a second degree. He already has $60,000 alone, but he's pursuing a second degree now. And man, this is a train wreck. Says that the mom says later on, "I never expected it was going to turn into this much of a fiasco." Isn't that what we always say? We always say, "I didn't know it." This is what this show's about, trying to keep us from these kind of things. Goes on to say 94% of parents of college students are increasingly feeling the burden of student loan debt. According to a 2014 survey by Citizens Financial Group, more than half of those parents worry that the cost of college will impact their ability to retire when they had been planned to. It's a very common problem. And the sooner you decide how you're going to tackle college expenses, the clearer your savings goal will be and the easier it will be to plan how to reach it. But that's straight out of CNN Money. Our next call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Leonard. Hey, Leonard.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How can I help you?
Hey, I've got a universal life policy that I've had since like 85. I'm paying $35 a month on it. I renewed it just about a year ago. The payment's the same, other than they're taking another $130 out of the cash value on it, which I wasn't really explained. Sure, I should have read the paperwork more. But should I withdraw everything and close it out, or keep it and let it keep growing? I've got a $19,000 cash value, but it's down to 12 if I remove it, and 16, I guess, is what they're working with. I don't fully understand how they do their numbers on that.
So your what's your surrender charge? What are they going to charge you to take the money out?
I would get 12.
Okay, 12, so 7,000. Okay, what's your premiums, 35?
Yeah, but they're taking 140 out of it every month out of the cash value.
Oh, okay. So it's really 175 total is your loss every
month.
And do you have any dependents right now?
Not directly. I have a son that lives with his mother.
Okay. So no one's relying on your income?
No, sir.
Okay. And what's your age?
51.
What this is, life insurance is it's not an investment. It's insurance. There's a big difference. And what it is, it's insurance that's in place that'll replace your income in the event that you die. And so let's play this thing out. You graduate to heaven next week. Nobody is reliant on your income. So there's no need for it. You actually don't need it. What you need is a little small policy that takes care of burial costs. So nobody has to take care of that. So a little $25,000, $30,000, $50,000 policy should be fine. Now, if you want to keep insurance just because you want to, and maybe name somebody a beneficiary, then I would suggest to you that you would go to term insurance, not this universal. But I would not cash out the universal until your term is in full effect. It's actually in, it's active, it's rolling. All the details are out. You've got all the paperwork. Everything's good. Maybe pay your first couple premiums. Then I would close the universal to make sure that you're still, fully insurable. There's no instant, any problems at 51 years old. And that's all done. And then, yeah, you're going to get that cash value in the mail, and then you're going to invest that. The bottom line is you want to pay term and want to invest the difference. So if a payment is going to be, let's say, $120 bucks a month for universal, and it's going to be $30 bucks a month for term, you want to take that difference between the two and you want to invest that. So now you're going to be getting 10 to 12% return instead of the little 2.4 to 4% return on these universal life. So it's not a good instrument. Of course, why do we want to do this? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We want to make sure we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about the next generation.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right. I hope that helps out. And of course, our folks at our ELPs in insurance can help out if you're going to go down that route for term. And you can find out more information about our ELPs at stewardship.com. Okay?
Super. Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, if you heard something on this show that you want more information on, head over to stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. Don't forget to give us a call if you're interested in leading a Financial Peace University class. You can do it. You don't have to have any kind of, your act doesn't have to be perfectly together when it comes to finances. Anybody can do it if you care about people and you can somehow facilitate a discussion. Give us a call at 866-357-3283 or visit stewardship.com for all the details. Again, thank you so much for all your reviews on the podcast. Please leave those. Very encouraging for our large team that are bringing this to you each and every day. Folks, until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.